This is a desktop movie.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Nikki. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. What are we doing here?
Well, Brandon, this is 2D or not 2D. It is an animated movie podcast where we watch an animated movie every month and we discuss it. Kind of like a book club, but with movies and a podcast.
Yes. And specifically, those movies, they do be animated. And we have a new episode every 25th of the month. And so this month, for the month of March in the year 2022, I don't know why I'm so specifically dating this episode, but I mean,
it's fine.
We watched Bird Boy and the Forgotten Children.
I believe we sure did, didn't we?
We did. I guess it's Bird Boy colon the Forgotten Children, not and the Forgotten Children.
Not and, yeah.
Before we jump into Bird Boy, what else have you been watching here recently?
Well, I think we mentioned this in the last episode, but we watched the Cuphead series.
Yeah.
And we did. I also watched all of the rebuild movies of Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Nice. So you're really going down that Neon Genesis, that rabbit hole there.
Yeah, I think I'm done with it. I mean, as far as movies and anime goes, it's really just the mangas left. So, yeah, I did it.
Very nice. And high praise there?
Yes, very high praise. I liked the rebuild movies a lot. They changed a lot of stuff for the better, I think. I don't know. I liked them both. But it was really, really well done.
Well, we've talked a little bit off of the show about the Cuphead show, and
we did.
We weren't. I think we were both a little let down overall.
Yeah, and it's cute.
I don't know if it was riding high off the coattails of the Legend of Vox Machina and being excited for something, and then it actually fulfilling those promises. I don't think so. I really do think it was kind of a hit and a miss, a swing and a miss for the Cuphead show. I think.
Yeah.
I think that our general consensus was that they could not decide where they were wanting to take the show or who it was for. They just didn't seem like they had a good direction there.
Yeah, they weren't sure who their audience was and which way they should lean. And it just kind of ended up being all over the place and just kind of silly.
Yeah, and I think if I was...
But the animation and the music was beautiful.
Yeah. I love that every episode just about had a musical number. I thought that was a ton of fun.
Yeah. I really did enjoy the devil song in the first episode. That was very nice introduction villain. I love a good villain introduction song. Can't go wrong.
I have been...
Hey, Brandon, wait.
Yeah, what's up?
What have you been watching?
I've been trying to kind of go through and knock some like movies off of my long watch list of movies to watch. I don't know. Like, do you have those movies where like they'll come out and you're like, well, I got to see that at some point, but you don't know, you know, just life happens.
Yes.
I watched Sorry to Bother You, which was directed by Boots Riley. That was one that, like, as soon as it came out, I was like, I really, really want to see that. And then watched it and was just head over heels for it. It was such a Brandon movie in so many ways. I can't say that everybody will enjoy it, but it was funny and weird and had a lot to say about stuff and capitalism. And I just really enjoyed it. I also just finished Lady Bird, directed by...
Oh, that's a good one.
I had not seen it, but it had been recommended, and a lot of people had seen it, and I Loved it. I just...
Good. I was going to be like, wait, I just got really excited and you might not have liked it.
No, I adored it. I was... That was one that, like, I knew I wanted to watch it, but I didn't... I knew next to nothing about it. I just knew that Greta Gerwig directed it. And that it was, you know, critically acclaimed back in 2017. And and that a lot of people liked it. But I didn't know that it was going to be kind of like, I don't know, just such a good coming of age movie. One of the, I think it may be one of the better ones I've ever seen. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really good. Definitely recommend to anyone.
Yeah, but it's still on Netflix. So
yes,
highly recommend that one. As well as Sorry to Bother You, but other than that, I watched through Euphoria on HBO Max.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what's wrong with me, maybe, but I really don't know that I can watch like series anymore of anything. Like, it's really hard for me to watch a series because I get pretty unhappy no matter if I like it or not. Like, I really liked Euphoria. Oh.
Okay. But,
I mean, you've shared the sentiment where it's like watching something before it's like completed kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yes. I'll die on that hill.
But like, it's not quite that for me, but it's like, I don't know that you can trust anything to be finished anymore. Like,
also fair.
And I mean, like, for Euphoria specifically, like, have you watched Euphoria?
No.
Like, each season could kind of stand on its own, but then also be continued, and it is going to be continued. Like, they're coming out with a third season, and I don't want to watch anymore. Like, I'm done. Like, I enjoyed some of the stories that were told. I enjoyed how it was told. But it, like, physically kind of hurts me. Like, I don't know, because, like, okay, probably the best for me was like Breaking Bad, watching through that series. Like, I loved Breaking Bad, and then they came out with the movie afterwards, and like, that was okay. And then like Better Call Saul came
Better
out.
Better Call Saul.
And I know that is its own thing and it's separate, but it's like, it gives me like trust issues. Cause I'm like, well, I don't know how much you're going to keep going on this. How do I put this to bed in my head? And I don't know.
It's hard.
It is. But that's kind of... Sorry.
Nope, go ahead.
That's just what I've been watching recently.
I was going to say, I forgot some movies that I wanted to mention. My partner and I have been going through the Oceans series.
Oh, yeah.
So I've watched Oceans 10, Oceans 11, and Oceans 12, all in anticipation of watching Oceans 8, which has my favorite actress in it, Anne Hathaway.
I was gonna say, my brain was trying to think of one more actress that was in that so I could cut you off before you said Anne Hathaway, and I couldn't do it.
You couldn't.
I was like,
and then Brandon, I went to a movie theater for the first time since 2019 to see The Batman.
Yeah, how was it?
Holy shoot. Well, first of all, we went on a rainy Sunday. So we were the only ones in the theater. So that quelled any hesitations as far as like masks and COVID and stuff. So that was good. Kind of an eerie experience. I don't think I've ever been in a movie theater just completely by myself before. Brandon, it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was so good. Please, everyone, go see it. It's amazing.
I've heard it's a very rainy movie, so
it's a really good movie for a rainy day. Fits the vibe.
Very nice. No, it's playing here as well. We were looking at going to see it, but we haven't seen a movie here in Thailand. And, I don't know, most Western movies play in English with Thai subtitles. So like, it wouldn't have been an issue, but we just haven't really crossed that bridge yet. So,
yeah. Well, if you feel brave, definitely worth it. Definitely worth trying.
It is definitely up there on our list. So Well, very exciting. Well, with that, you want to go ahead and jump into to Bird Boy?
Yeah, let's jump into Bird Boy.
Well, we're gonna
Forgotten Children.
The Forgotten Children. We're going to spoil this 2015 film. So if you did want to watch it, or if you were interested in not having it spoiled, maybe hold off on the rest of this episode and then jump back in once you've finished. But if you kind of want to hear our quick synopsis of it and then some of our views on it before you jump into it, then stick around. But
I will also add that this movie was based off of a graphic novel. So if you are interested in reading the graphic novel, then you also probably want to wait.
Yes. It was written and directed by Alberto Vasquez and Pedro Rivero, that being both the comic that was written and drawn by Vasquez, and then the short film that came shortly before it was written and directed by the same two as well. But yeah, do you want to kick things off with some story for it?
Sure, right. I will try.
I can if you'd rather.
I will say I didn't watch the short film. I didn't realize it had one until I was like looking up information afterwards. And that was last night before I went to bed. So no time to watch the short film.
No worries.
We open on a landfill and a mouse and a younger mouse are scavenging for copper through the trash, and the older mouse tells a tale of the land they live in that used to be a very prosperous island with some kind of, I don't know if it was a power plant, some kind of industrial place. And
I think it was like an intentionally vague, just industrial factory.
Yeah. Where everyone was happy and they worked and they made good money and blah, blah, blah. But one day it exploded and basically turned the island into a post-apocalyptic kind of world, and became most of the island became a landfill. There was some remnants of a town that kind of scrapped a society together, but it was mostly landfill. And so he's telling the story to his son, and he's like, "Ah, but you don't remember any of that, do you?" And then we cut to the more town-like part of the island, and we meet Dinky, the rabbit, and her talking alarm clock, who I love. His name was like Rogelio or something. And he's kind of a semi-sentient alarm clock, and she kind of like hits him to turn him off. He's like, "No, stop. Why do you hurt me?" And then she knocks him off the table and he breaks and he's like, "Why?" It was very cute and very funny. But she gets ready for school and goes downstairs to her mother and stepfather, who is like a human in a bunny hat.
I don't mean to correct you, but so there are their family of mice, the Dinky's family.
Oh, they're not rabbits. I thought they were rabbits.
Yeah, no, and the only, like, I don't know that it matters other than the fact that she has a rabbit friend and a fox friend.
I thought they were both rabbits.
You would not be like at all like incorrect in thinking that. It wasn't ever like explicitly stated. It's just that, I mean, like on the synopsis here, for it, they're listed as mice, but again, it's not their animal characteristics don't really have anything to do too much other than kind of distinguishing them from their peers. Like it's not as though they have mice qualities or rabbit qualities. Other than
right. I like really only mentioned it because of the dad, the stepdad, because he was weird. Like his face was very human, but he had a hat on with ears And I was like, is he the only human pretending to be a mouse? Like, right. It was kind of weird. I think that was
some kind of like a metaphor for like sometimes step parents feeling like they are like putting on a mask to be, you know, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Still weird. It made me uncomfortable. And they had like a dog that also kind of had a human face, but he was wearing like a luchador mask and he could kind of talk. And he said he wanted to be an engineer when he grew up, but he also like humped the dad's leg very aggressively.
I think maybe we should say up front, like this one was not a children's.
Oh yeah, this was for adults. This one will, you need a stiff drink afterwards. I'm just going to spoil that. Not for kids.
We'll do our best to keep it PG here still, but I don't think that we'll be able to skirt away from some of the more adult elements of this story.
Yeah. So that the stepfather is yelling at Dinky because she's been like stealing their happy pills and not going to school, like skipping class. And he's kind of berating her while praising the dog for his inappropriate behavior. So Dinky's very clearly unhappy at home, and we find out that that is very true as she comes to school and meets with her friends to ditch school and run away. I'm going to let you take over a little bit because there's several storylines intertwining, and it's kind of hard to keep track.
Yeah, no.
So
no worries. they decide, Dinky and her friends, which again are they're Sandra,
and Little Fox.
Yes. And they have saved up their coins so that they can escape off of this island that they have kind of felt has, kind of trapped them in just trapped them. And while this is happening, there is kind of another little side story here of Bird Boy. Our titular character, who is the son of Birdman, who after after the factory explosion, Birdman, his lighthouse stopped working, so he had to find another way to kind of make ends meet and survive. And what he was doing, inevitably we find out, was carrying a satchel and flying over the island with these kind of glowing acorns. And the police on the island mistook this as a Birdman trafficking drugs. And so they inevitably shot him down and murdered Birdman. So this kind of left Bird Boy in a really awful state, so much so as to grow a demon inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
And to combat and repress this demon, Bird Boy turns to drugs and using drugs to kind of suppress this. But Bird Boy and Dinky kind of grow close. They have seemingly a pretty intimate relationship that we kind of see through these like flashbacks and vignettes. Because of Bird Boy's demons, he decides that he is not going to allow himself to get close to Dinky in fear of hurting her. So they kind of separate and Dinky has her plan of leaving the island, and Bird Boy's going to kind of do what Bird Boy's going to do.
Dinky does, as the children are, I say children because they're all supposed to be 14, they all gather, and she tries to meet him before they go, and she leaves, like, all of her parents' happy pills and a note for him asking him to go with her. So it's clear that relationship, like, she still has those feelings for him, even though he's pushed her away.
Yes. And so Bird Boy gets his drugs from his friend Zachariah, who is a pig who fishes out at sea. But because of the factory explosion, there are no longer any fish out in the ocean here. Primarily, Zachariah gets his money from selling drugs, and in turn also provides drugs to his mother, whose drug addiction reveals itself in the form of a giant black spider that crawls out.
Well, it starts out as a tiny spider and then it gets bigger when you give it drugs.
Yes. But Zachariah is who Dinky, Sandra, and Little Fox decide to steal money from because they don't quite have enough to make it off of the island.
Yeah, they're a little short.
So they do steal the funds from a talking piggy bank.
A lot of the inanimate objects in this movie talk.
Yeah, so. And they do steal, just barely are able to make it out without getting caught. And then Zachariah decides to kill his mother's addiction in the form of the spider. Even though
in turn killing his mother.
Yes. So the three of them make their way to the industrial wastes, where basically people, like, as the story started, where they scavenge for copper and just anything they can find to most make of the time. Buck. Yeah. Make a buck and get some drugs. They come across, I think it's like Little White Mouse's brother who was supposed to have left the island and gone to the city, but he's actually stayed in the wastes.
Sans a hand.
Yes. But they kind of with his advice find Klaus, who is a contraband seller, who sells them a inflatable rubber ducky raft.
That also talks.
Also talks. That's how they're going to get off the island. Now, while this is going on, Bird Boy is kind of, he's having a hard time. He's at one point he's shot by the police as he's flying. Mm-hmm. And then he has to crawl into a grotto underneath the island where there is a large tree that's growing in this this underground cavern. And there's actually fish in the water. And he has filled this massive tree underground with birds, and when the birds die, they let loose a small firefly that kind of illuminates the whole cavern. Upon another bird's death, Bird Boy decides to confront his demons and go to the lighthouse to kind of...
Oh, sorry, real quick.
No, please.
The little fireflies heal his wounds.
Yes.
Which is, like, he's been shot several times, but if he goes to the grotto, the fireflies will heal his wounds, and, like, that's how he's been able to survive.
Yes. And so they like, chew away at him under the water or something to heal him. It's kind of intentionally vague, I think. It's like, yeah. He makes his way to the lighthouse to confront his demons. And while he's there trying to get the lighthouse in working order, Zachariah's parrot, which we kind of forgot to mention, he just had a parrot that he got.
Zachariah had a parrot, and Bird Boy was using the drug Zachariah had gave him when the police found him at Zachariah's boat. And the parrot was like, hey, wake up, the police are here. Because Bird Boy can talk to both birds and boys. And so he released the parrot and freed it so it wouldn't get shot in the mess. So then the parrot reappears.
And what the parrot saw was back in the wastes, Dinky, Sandra, and Little Fox have been captured by the Forgotten Children of the Waste. And the Forgotten Children are this group of rats and mice who have basically cast off society. I can't remember exactly what their chant was, but it was basically that they have no mother, they have no father, and that, you know, blood is their way.
Blood is their law, yeah.
Yeah. And they accuse the trio of stealing and trespassing, and so they're kind of threatening to basically kill these three for trespassing. That's what the parrot sees, returns to Bird Boy, and in receiving this information, Bird Boy decides to let out his demon and become a massive raven-like monster.
It's kind of sick.
It's pretty really cool. it's kind of like my favorite part of the movie. And he flies through straight to the wastes and... kills everybody but Dinky, Sandra, and Little Fox.
Kills all the bad guys.
Kills all the...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And after he reverts kind of back to mostly Bird Boy form, Dinky calms him down and tells Bird Boy that she loves him. And then they all agree to escape off the island together with Bird Boy leading the way. So they set sail, but unfortunately...
On their little rubber ducky raft.
On their sentient rubber ducky.
Ooh!
I know, it's close. We're still keeping
it's
it
That's a good one. That's a twister.
Yeah. They set sail, but unfortunately a storm hits them, and so the waves are getting pretty fierce. And then the police finally catch up with Bird Boy and shoot him down into the water. But
unable to get to his Firefly friends.
Yes. So he sinks down into the ocean and perishes. And
I would like to mention just a little, I don't feel like it had that much to do with the story, but Sandra, the rabbit, she has these like little demon rabbits that come on her shoulder to tell her to do bad things. But she never does them.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a thing throughout the movie of like, oh, push little fox off this cliff. Oh, don't save Dinky. Let her drown. But she never succumbs to them.
Yeah. There's like a rumor that Sandra hears voices and they tell her to do bad things. And then from Sandra's perspective, we see these actual voices as tiny demon rabbits. Very interesting.
Yeah.
But she always overcomes them up until the end when they're drowning. And yeah, she does decide to save Dinky instead of let her drown.
Yeah.
But the three that survive are pulled out of the ocean by Zachariah and returned to their parents. Oh, doesn't like a firefly show up to lead Dinky out of the house?
Yeah. So they go home. We cut back to Zachariah, who's fishing, and he unfortunately hooks the body of Bird Boy, and as he's kind of, I don't know if he's like screaming or if he's just like in shock, but as he's like staring at Bird Boy, we see a firefly leave Bird Boy's mouth, and that firefly goes and gets Dinky and brings Dinky to the grotto.
Yes, and kind of seems like maybe Dinky will take over for Bird Boy. It's kind of hard to say.
I think that's what's implied. It's kind of like the last word of the film is like Dinky asking like Bird Boy, like asking if he's in the grotto as she's holding one of these glowing magical acorns.
But that was Bird Boy, the Forgotten Children.
Oh, it's Bird Boy.
What did you think of this one?
Man, it was good, but it was a bummer. It was, the synopsis, like on Amazon, didn't give a lot. So I was not emotionally prepared for how much of a bummer this was.
Yeah, I spent a lot of February watching short films. And so I watched a lot of animated short films. And a lot of them, like, I would come across were these kind of like, I don't know how to best to say it other than like very edgy commentaries on society. And I can only watch so many of those before I get kind of just frustrated. And I'm like, well, what, why? Okay. Yeah, we know. Like, I mean, like it's one thing to kind of be, I don't know, I guess like just political in your commentary and what you create in your art, totally fine. But I don't know. There is a level of it which is just kind of like, yep, things can get kind of bad. And so I was kind of nervous going into this one because once I started seeing it kind of veer in that direction, I was like, man, I'm not feeling these right now. But I felt like it had a really good story at its core. Like,
yeah,
albeit pretty vague and kind of hard to follow at times. It was also cute and funny in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
you mentioned the alarm clock character. Amazing. The little... so funny.
Oh, yeah. There's two parts that we kind of left out of the synopsis that I do want to mention. So after the alarm clock, Rogelio or whatever, after he's broken, the stepfather fixes him and gives him legs. And is like, go explore the world. And so this alarm clock kind of goes on a quest to find Dinky because she's not at school. And he's like, that's my like one thing. It's like, I got to get you up and get you to school. Like, Dinky, where are you? And he comes across the landfill that's full of metal cans. And he kind of drops to his knees. He's like, no, my brothers, there's been a massacre. And it's sad, but kind of funny to have alarm clock freaking out.
That was probably one of the funnier moments. Just, I mean, because again, he constantly interrupts himself with like these beeping noises. I don't know. It's very fun.
Yeah. It's very like Rick burping in like Rick and Morty, but like a little alarm clock. Like,
yes.
That, and then the second one, which is a little more of a bummer than the alarm clock, and the mice from the beginning. We see them kind of cut back and forth to them, and they get to a point where they're like, all right, like we've gathered enough copper and stuff, and they find the alarm clock. And they're like, oh, yeah, like this is good. Like this will go for a lot of money. They start to leave, and they run into another father-son scavenger duo. And it's like, oh, you're in my territory. It's like, nope, you're in my territory. And they have to fight. And it's these two white mice versus two gray mice. And because they don't have names, so just for distinction purposes, the fathers fight and the sons, very both sad and scared seeing their fathers fight, are like, I guess we have to fight too. And the white mouse, the white father kills the gray father, but the gray son kills the white son. And so they just kind of look at each other, and the white mouse goes on and kind of looks back at the gray mouse and is like, hey, are you coming? And they joined together like nothing happened. And that was like really weird and sad. And yeah.
Yeah. It still did feel like this film was, it had a lot to say about the world and society. And it kind of said that in like several little moments. I don't know. Like there's very much, I think, an overall theme about like the loss of innocence that's hit a lot. But it has a lot of little, I mean, the police are,
not good.
And they are very keen and set on murdering Bird Boy, regardless of their justification.
And even like the first time we see a police officer in this movie, he's like, oh, hey, Dinky, look, I'm a cop now. I dropped out of school and now I have a gun. Like it was very kind of on the nose.
Yeah. Yeah. Very pretty heavy handed metaphors in a lot of ways. I did want to ask, there was a moment that like I felt like there were more than just this moment, but there's only one I can think of, like unanswered moments that just, I don't know what they were trying to say, if it was just kind of funny, but like, so when they're getting their inflatable rubber duck, it starts talking to them about how like, please buy me. I was at once a free rubber duck and then I was captured and deflated and I've lived in that box my whole life and like, please set me free. It's very sad. But then when they go to leave, they like, Little Fox turns around and has the talking piggy bank in their backpack, and like the piggy bank and the rubber duck share a moment of like anger towards each other.
Yeah. They like glare at each other.
That is never resolved. I don't like.
No. Cause I mean, ultimately, when the kids get confronted by the forgotten children, they take the piggy bank and smash it. So they don't really get a chance to resolve that conflict.
Yeah. I think the rubber duck is lost at sea.
Yeah, I think he like popped.
Yeah, something. I don't know. I was like, oh, something's going to happen here. And then it just super did not. So I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, okay, one of these inanimate objects is going to betray them or something. Like one of them's bad. Right. I don't know, but nope.
Strange. We had mentioned that the when Bird Boy lets loose his demons as being very, very cool. There was a lot there that made that super cool. Like the thing that comes to my mind that I was like almost like it gave me like goosebumps was the noise the sound effect they used for Bird Boy's roar was really cool. Like they kind of worked with like peaking in the way that it was like a really shrill like scream that this demon gave, and I don't know, it just gave me almost like Godzilla kaiju vibes, like
yes, at the end. It was very much like that. He like comes in and he's doing that roar and he's just biting and tearing these people apart and like ripping them apart, smacking them with his giant wings. And then one of the mice kind of gets the jump on him and stabs him in the thigh. And then suddenly he can breathe like green fire. And it was sick and very Godzilla-esque.
You know, I wonder if that is like, because it was so satisfying, because you watched as this whole movie, like you want these kids to succeed because it really does seem like their plan and their ideas make sense beyond what the adults in the film are portraying. And
yeah.
I wonder if that's somehow like, I wonder what it's trying to maybe say there with like, cause that's the little kid victory. It's like, then I turned into a monster and I saved the day. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Cause it was just really satisfying. That has felt like what I wanted the whole movie. I was like, yes, they got the upper hand. They have the power. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'll probably be chewing on this one for a while, I feel like.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that is probably going to sit with me for a while.
Yeah. We had mentioned the short film. So, I watched the short film after watching the full length.
Okay.
And, it's about 12 or 13 minutes long. It was strange. I have yet to watch a short film quite like this. Something that comes out before a full length where, the short film was actually, I really didn't like it. It was not very good. It was cool in that way, the way it was animated, but it did not live up to the standards of the full length. It had a very kind of different storyline, and I don't know. It was just not. It is not like a lot of short films that like a proof of concept before the full length. It's like a shortened. I mean, it sounds silly, but it's just like typically a shortened version of that story. And this is just, right. This is different. I don't know. I wouldn't have like had I watched that, and then I found out it was a full length. I'd be like, no, I don't want to watch the full length. I was glad to see that it had come so far from the short film, but did not read the graphic novel. But
okay. Yeah, well, I'll say so. Skip the short film.
Yes,
I don't know if the short film is like pulled right from the graphic novel or like, you know, what the source material is for either of these. But if it is, like, the animation style is really neat. It's really different in a good way. I really like it. So I think it would be a really interesting graphic novel for sure.
Yeah, it is. It is dark in all the right ways while still holding a kind of wonderful, colorful palette throughout. Like, it doesn't give you just like a bleak, dour the whole time. Like, there's beautiful, colorful visuals to watch throughout as well.
Like, I'm trying to think, I feel like there's a brand name or something I'm forgetting, but it really reminds me of like early 2000s, like Hot Topic graphic tees.
Yeah. Like,
it's very cute while also being kind of scary and edgy.
Kind of like a Happy Bunny. Was that one of them?
Happy Bunny was just mean.
Well, true, but I mean,
it was just, I meant more like, think of like Skull Animals or something. Mm. Like this mix of like kind of gruesome. Oh no, what was it called? I just remember, it's like Emily something. It's like these like really pretty dolls, but they're like dead. I think that's what I'm thinking of. But it was really cute. Like, Bird Boy himself is very cute, other than the fact that he has like these huge dark circles like under his eyes, and like when he starts, his demon starts coming out, he has these big claws that come out of his hands. But like, otherwise, he's pretty cutely drawn Bird Boy. Like, he's got a little suit and a big head. It's very cute.
Yeah, no, he's adorable. I mean, and I would say that another thing just to touch on that I really enjoyed about this film, I mentioned that the sound of the monster bird, the sound design throughout was really good. Bird Boy actually never speaks throughout the film. Which, thank you, Amazon. You had one trivia listed at the front of the movie, and I was like, what's that? And it was like, despite being the main character, Bird Boy never talks. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know. That was, it wasn't a spoiler. I didn't change anything of the film, but it was just like, that would have, that's not trivia. Like, you would have, anyway. But Bird Boy, is played by a young actor. And even though he doesn't speak, he has these like little coughs and wheezes. And I really liked that choice for a silent protagonist, because I don't know, it just made it feel a lot more real and justified for him never speaking. And Bird Boy also coughs up blood for most of the film. And it was just, I mean, as gross as it is, it sounded very real and made it feel like it mattered. Everything that happened felt like it mattered, which I think is good for animation, especially when it has action.
And as one that was like, I don't mean this in a bad way. I just can't think of another word. Like, this one was a little like convoluted with its storylines.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
But like you said, like everything, maybe except for, and maybe we're just missing it, the inanimate objects glaring at each other. Like everything else had a purpose.
Yeah. Did that resonate with you though, when Little Fox was like, no, the pig, like don't smash, don't leave the little piggy bank.
Yeah.
There was that. I remember that as like, especially from childhood. And I mean, even still to some extent, it's like, I don't know, it's hard to discard items sometimes when you give them an ounce of personality.
Yeah. It super is personification, man. It'll get you.
That it will. I was just taking a look at the author and creator of this, Alberto Vasquez, to see what else they're working on. I guess they have a full-length film that's in post-production right now. It's supposed to come out this year, called Unicorn Wars. This story tracks two brother teddy bear soldiers who yearn for unicorn blood to be beautiful forever. As well as Gordy, who just wants to be accepted and liked. So I think we're going to get another pretty dark.
All right. Again, with the like very cute concept, but has a very dark element to it.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to, I want to check this one out though. This looks right up the same alley, looking at just images of it. Oh boy. Yep. That one's going to be another dark, bleak, bleak story. I typically we go into like what we thought of this one, like what we thought about like, what it reminded us of, but I think we've kind of already touched on that a little bit. Like, the only other thing I would say was just that, like, there was like an early aughts wave of cartoons that I felt like were a little bit more experimental in some of their animation style, and it reminded me of this. Also, kind of like early YouTube animation, like Salad Fingers, kind of, and like where there's like an element to where they do the, you know, they have the background and then animate like the, I don't know. I don't know enough about how animation works, I think, before I speak out of tail. but yeah, just kind of along those lines. Anything else you want to talk about Bird Boy?
I don't know. There's like one part of the story that we left out that I don't know why my brain's like, oh, you should mention that.
Please do.
When they thought that Birdman was distributing drugs to the children on the island, it was specifically like he's giving drugs to children. They started cutting down all the trees, and that way Bird Boy couldn't escape them, or Birdman, because Birdman could fly. So like the big part of this was like Bird Boy's trying to replant the trees that were cut down. And because this is the site of like an industrial like radiation type accident, nothing grows. The only thing that grows are these magic acorns. So that's an important part of it.
It's like everything that happened was important, but it's like at the same time, I don't know. Like, yeah, it was important. Like, cause that was crucial to the everything that was happening. But like, I don't, like, nothing actually, I think, came to fruition in the movie. I think that's why everything kind of feels like it could be put in or not at the same time.
Like, yeah. It was like oddly, like we got the kind of good ending you wanted with Bird Boy coming to rescue the kids. But at the same time, they didn't get off the island. Bird Boy didn't survive. Our only hope is they kind of leave us with like maybe Dinky will decide to stay on the island and pick up Bird Boy's mantle and start growing these trees. And one day maybe the island can get back to where it was. But we don't know.
I feel like this episode is basically us like helping anybody want to try and unpack Bird Boy. I think that's unpack it with us and
yeah,
make it make sense.
If you're struggling a little bit and you need to try to make things make sense in your brain, we got you.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll do it for us then on Bird Boy. It is 2D. It's kind of like a mix of 2D. I mean, right?
There's a little bit of 3D.
Yeah.
I think.
And definitely not for kids.
Not for kids. Please do not show this to your kid. Hey, Brandon.
Yes.
What are we watching next month?
Next month, we are watching Loving Vincent.
Yay. This one's about Vincent van Gogh.
Yes. I'm very excited for this one. I remember hearing about this one a long time ago. And yeah, it's about Vincent van Gogh, and it is entirely animated in the style of his paintings. So
yeah,
very excited for
we're
that
one. In for a treat.
Yes, super excited. Do you want to tell people where they can find us on the internet?
Absolutely. If you have a lot of feelings about Bird Boy and you want to talk about them, we're here for you. You can contact us at Twitter or Instagram at 2D or not 2D cast. And then we also have a Gmail if you have a lot of feelings and you have a lot of words to say that can't fit in that Twitter limit. It's 2D or not 2D cast at gmail.com. And yeah, I mean, that's it. You can also, if you are too emotionally wrecked to type, you can get on anchor.fm and send us a voicemail and we could actually plug that into the show and we can talk through your feelings with you.
Yeah, it definitely can. I'm going to go get some more coffee and so that
I'm going to start getting ready for bed.
Hopefully the coffee will make my eyes feel less like Bird Boy's and I was going to say I hope that sleep makes never mind. I can't draw it.
I'm going to get sleep to avoid having Bird Boy's eyes.
There we go. All right. Well, we'll be back on the 25th of April for Loving Vincent. I'm Brandon.
I'm Nikki.
And be sure to
tune in next time. Man, I can't believe that stuck.